Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our Q2 2023 earnings call. Our CEO, Kruno Crepulja, will walk you through our presentation and give you an update on our current business performance and our outlook for 2023. As usual, this will be followed by a Q&A session. With this, I would like to hand over directly to Kruno.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad you could join us for our Q2 earnings call. In an overall still tough environment, we once again achieved very solid results with continued high margins and on the basis of a strong balance sheet. This result was also supported by additional cost-saving measures we have taken. If you look at the business development in the first half, we must note that sales were in line with the general market, very sluggish, although it is also fair to point out that we can observe a moderate recovery in our private customer sales business in the recent months from an admittedly very low level. The institutional market is still largely frozen, and we do not expect a notable market recovery before H1 2024. In a smaller size transaction, we successfully sold a part of our Bamberg project to an institutional investor in Q1, but as mentioned in the past, our guidance for this year does not include major institutional deals. On the supply side, we are observing a continuation of the positive trend with construction cost inflation receding. Against the backdrop of decreasing order books of construction companies, our negotiation power is currently improving steadily. Accordingly, we remain highly confident about meeting our cost budgets for the year. Given the current overall still low visibility on the demand side, we are clearly doing our homework, and we have increased our focus on costs and cash preservation in the last quarters. Our efforts are bearing fruit. Platform costs for the first six months are already slightly lower than they were a year ago, and more savings should be achieved by the end of this year. Specifically, we view ourselves on track to reach our targeted run rate for platform costs of 70 million by Q4 2023. As you will see, our business generates positive operating cash flows in the second quarter. Hence, our solid balance sheet and leverage ratios have improved. Let's now take a brief look at our financial KPIs for the first half of 2023. Our adjusted revenues amounted to 279.5 million euros, slightly above previous year's level and in line with our budget. Our gross margin stayed at a high level of 25.8%. This clearly reflects a leading profitability compared to our German peers. Due to a higher top line, stable margins, rising contributions from our Berlin JV, and despite higher interest costs, our earnings after tax have increased quite significantly over the first six months to 23.9 million euros. Overall, our H1 results show that we are fully on track to meet our financial targets for the full year 2023. Accordingly, we reiterate our 2023 full year guidance with adjusted revenues of 600 million-700 million euros, an adjusted gross margin of around 25%, adjusted earnings after tax of 40 million-50 million, and a positive operating cash flow. Moving on to slide five in our presentation. As usual, we provide full transparency regarding sales speed in our retail customer business. As you can see, our sales speed remains below the long-term range. However, there appears to be a meaningful improvement versus recent lows, which is in line with anecdotal reporting across our branches regarding increased customer inquiries. Sales are focused on projects in more advanced stages of construction, as the risk to miss out is a more relevant consideration. Although customers clearly prefer to minimize the period from the signing to completion, not least to avoid financing costs. We will see how sustainable the improvement is. For now, we are taking an optimistic stance. As already mentioned, the situation in the institutional market has not really changed so far. Most of our institutional investors continue to stay in a wait-and-see mode. However, talking to our clients, we feel that 2024 could become a better year, but for the time being, the visibility on the timeline remains low. Clearly, the advanced energy standard of our product, accelerating rent growth across all our focus regions, and the stabilizing rates environment will help reopen the market with institutional clients. On the following slides, six and seven, we provide an overview of relevant market indicators. The key question, especially in the current environment, is the price development. The slump in transaction volumes reduces transparency regarding appropriate price levels and reflects market uncertainty. Although the value of published market data has certainly suffered due to the aforementioned reasons, I think it is still fair to say that the big picture is starting to get a bit clearer. We are seeing only a moderate decline in headline prices for new built properties in the metropolitan areas, and newly built properties are clearly outperforming the broader market, while properties with a capex backlog for energetic refurbishment are seeing the largest discounts. The latter is clearly a result of the energy crisis and the expected changes in the regulatory framework for heating systems in Germany. Although there appears to be a relevant degree of regional differentiation, with cities such as Berlin and Leipzig or Cologne and Düsseldorf showing a better performance with regards to both price and rent development. Nevertheless, I think it's also fair to say that asking prices, as shown on the left-hand side, might differ somewhat from the actual transaction prices. The right-hand side of this slide shows construction price inflation over time. The most recent data from May show a continuation of the trend of receding inflation. This reflects our on-the-ground experience, with new construction contracts largely in line and in some cases even below budget. In addition, we clearly benefit from improved negotiation power vis-à-vis our suppliers as construction companies' order books are increasingly weakening. Over to page seven. The persistently strong momentum in rents across residential assets and the particular strength regarding new build rents are perhaps the most important positive developments in the market. Over the past month, rents, particularly in the metropolitan areas, have shown high single-digit year-on-year increases. This trend is also confirmed by all relevant market surveys. Energy-efficient, newly built properties are once again a key beneficiary of this development. There are clear regional differences, but overall, rent growth in the major cities has picked up over the past 12 months to a level we have not seen in many years. The scarcity for residential space is reinforced by, first, a massive decline in new construction, second, a substantial number of would-be buyers that are forced into the rental market, and third, the well-known migration and urbanization trends. Considering the time lag in connection with supply for new build properties, we can expect the demand surplus for rental properties to continue to put upward pressure on rent prices. As you know, new build benefits from much more favorable rent regulation. Due to the high demand situation, landlords of newly built properties in good locations are able to negotiate inflation-linked rental contracts. This clearly contributes to higher growth rates in the current environment, also in the existing leases and not only in new leases. We believe that this strong development will help the market in its price discovery process to narrow the bid-ask spread. While the rise in interest rates has clearly triggered a rise in the yield requirements, the net price impact is clearly mitigated by the strong rent performance and the sound outlook. You are familiar with our two-dimensional graphic charts, the opposing effects of rent development and yield expansion. We still consider our base case scenario to be realistic, that we can expect a price correction of around 5 to 8% until the institutional market reaches a new equilibrium. This would imply rental yields in the free finance market of slightly below 4%. Moving on to slide eight. Instone can navigate through the crisis with a comparatively low risk profile. In addition to a strong balance sheet and industry-leading margins, the high level of pre-sales is a key element of this. The high pre-sales ratio provides high visibility for revenue and cash generation, and it significantly mitigates potential inventory risks. On this chart, we illustrate that projects worth 3.1 billion euros are currently under construction, and thereof some 2.8 billion euros, or 90%, have already been sold. The total value of sold projects, including projects in the pre-construction phase, amounts to 2.9 billion. This forms a stable source of future revenues of nearly 900 million euros, which have not yet been recognized. Yeah, as you know, we have a change in our CFO role. David Dreyfus will take over the position from Foruhar Madjlessi. David has already spent a significant amount of time with the company, and I believe we have been able to secure a smooth transition of responsibilities. He's also participating in our call today, but will only officially take up the position from September 1st onwards. I will therefore also lead you through the financial section of our presentation today. David, thanks for joining us on this call, and we look forward to permanently welcoming you in about 3 weeks from now. Let me now take you through the H1 financials in a bit more detail, starting with page 10. We have achieved overall results that, against the current market backdrop, we consider to be absolutely satisfactory. Our revenues have increased versus last year's H1. Pre-sold projects and construction progress have been the major contributors to H1 revenues. As just mentioned, cumulative outstanding revenues from our 900 million euros. We continue to achieve attractive margins underpinning the quality of our projects, as well as our ability to manage construction costs. With a gross margin of around 25%, we certainly have an industry-leading profitability, which is also confirmed when looking at the latest results of other listed peers with a focus on Germany. We have already discussed our strong emphasis on costs and cash preservation in the current environment. Despite a rising number of units under construction, we have already managed to reduce our staff costs. This has been achieved based on lower variable compensation, as well as a general freeze for new hires. In addition to staff costs, our focus remains on improving G&A cost position. As a result, we continue to expect up to 80 million of platform costs for the full year 2023, while we also feel on track to reach a run rate of annualized platform costs of 70 million euros by the end of this year. An important pillar to our sound bottom line results was the earnings contributions from our joint venture project in Friedenauer Höhe in Berlin, which is progressing in line with our expectations. Most of the more than 1,000 units have been pre-sold to institutional investors. A total of 131 units have been designated to retail sales, and given its particularly attractive location and well-advanced construction, the retail offering project is currently among the best-selling in our portfolio. Over to page 11. On slide 11, you find a brief overview of how we are going to achieve our sales and revenue targets in the current financial year. After having reached sales contracts of around 71 million euros in H1, the full year target of at least 150 million implies somewhat higher sales in the second half. Against the backdrop of the recent positive retail sales trend, we expect a rise in retail sales in H2, and we also consider the signing of a small institutional deal still a possibility. In addition, we will benefit from index-based sales price adjustments with our institutional clients, which will also be captured as new sales according to our definition. The revenue bridge on the right-hand side shows that our full year forecast is based primarily on revenues generated from pre-sold properties, and the expected construction progress. Turning to the next page. As you can see, Q2 credit metrics have improved. We maintain a rock-solid balance sheet, which is clearly a key competitive strength of ours in the current environment. On the back of a lower net debt position in the second quarter and rising operating earnings, our LTC ratio stands at moderate level of 24%, while net debt to EBITDA decreased to 3.1x. As previously communicated, there can be a degree of volatility, in particular around the net debt to EBITDA figure. However, we anticipate keeping our strong balance sheet and generally moderate leverage metrics. As you can see from the footnotes, we have excluded some 80 million cash and some of 54 million of corresponding financial debt in this calculation, and this is due to subsidized loans attributable to our customers. As a result of this adjustment, we have chosen a conservative disclosure. Also, I would like to point out our book value per share, valued at cost, amounts to more than 13 euros per share, significantly above the current share price. As you can see, our Q2 operating cash flow has been positive with 34.3 million. We expect the difficult market environment to persist throughout the remainder of the year, and we also see the risk that potential distressed situations of highly levered players in our sector might have an adverse impact on conditions in the sector. Therefore, we maintain a high focus on cash preservation. We are currently investing in new land on a highly selective basis only. We are keeping our powder dry for distressed, which we believe will emerge. We will, however, not restart new investments except if the risk-reward profile is highly attractive, for example, if the sale is very likely until we see a market stabilization. Until then, we will focus on working on our existing 7.2 billion pipeline. The cash outflow for land in H1 relates to prior year commitments. Our liquidity position remains strong. With our current cash position and undrawn revolving credit facilities, we have more than 350 million euros of liquidity available. In addition, we have contractually secured undrawn project financing lines of more than 150 million euros. It is worth noting that we remain one of only a few developers with continued access to secured project financings. We have successfully completed project financings with a volume of 150 million euros year to date. The full access to corporate funding and project financing will clearly be another competitive advantage for Instone. Chart 14 provides an overview of our solid financing structure with appropriate maturities, which we aim to further improve in the near future. From a position of strength, we are currently discussing with our lenders an additional smoothing of the maturity profile of a promissory note due in 2025. Finally, turning to page 15. Also against the backdrop of our very solid H1 results, we view ourselves on track to reach our 2023 financial targets, which we consider to be robust with respect to our P&L targets, and as target revenues are primarily driven by construction progress from existing projects. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and move on to the Q&A part.
We would like you to ask the question one by one so that we can answer them accordingly. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question, again, may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. Our first question today will come from Thomas Rothaeusler from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. A couple of questions. The first is on a rough outlook for until next year. Actually, you expect no major recovery before the first half of 2024, if I got that correct. So you expect actually the first half of next year also eventually to be weak. Therefore, actually, all hope is on a recovery in the second half of next year. And if this wouldn't materialize, then definitely the results for next year should be below that of this year. Actually, considering, you know, a lower starting point from revenues from pre-sold units compared to this year. Would you roughly share this picture?
Hi, Thomas. I think, of course, it's too early to give a guidance for 2024. What we can say is that approximately 400 million of the planned revenues for the coming year come from already sold projects, where, of course, the construction process has to be achieved, or the progress has to be achieved. On the other hand, when we look at our, let's say, current situation of private sales and retail sales, we see some recovery. And when we look at our discussions with institutional buyers, the situation is quite a bit better than we have seen it maybe a few months ago. So therefore, again, we don't want to give you a guidance today. But I think it's a very good and solid base. We are starting with 400 million of revenues already secured by the existing sales.
Okay. The second question is actually on your gross profit margin, which is still quite high, roughly 26%. If we compare to your peers, what would you say is the key reason for that, and to what level can this be kept if we assume you to start new projects with likely much lower margins?
So I think that, you know, from my perspective in comparison to many others, you know, we have been always a specialist on residential development in Germany for many, many years. We have been the first mover to start this business nationwide, and we have a lot of experience and really well-skilled people. So looking at the value chain, I think we do the right things in acquisition. We find out the right opportunities in the market. And we have the whole process under control. So you know that we have a deep understanding of construction management. And this all leads to the margins, which are significantly better than many, many other peers. Looking forward, when you look at the overall situation, I think, of course, if we assume a price reduction of 5 to 8% for the existing portfolio, this will have some kind of impact on gross margin. We think that roughly the gross margin should stay at the level of 20%. And then additionally, we will see plenty of opportunities. So from distress situations where we are absolutely sure that we can generate in the future attractive market margins from this distress situation. So overall, I think, you know, that we always said that we think that the gross margin over the time period should be at the level between 20 to 25%. So this is absolutely achievable also in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The third question is on new projects. And how many can we expect you to start this year?
So we have currently a big number of, you know, projects under construction. We are currently building roughly 6,000 units. And of course, let's say starting, we started construction in a project in Hamburg, Rothenburgs Ort, and depending on the sales activities, we are always, you know, here very cautious. We start the project if we reach 30% pre-sale rate for the owner-occupier business, or if we sell the whole project in the institutional business. And due to the lower sales activities, of course, there's also some kind of, you know, lower project start activities. But again, I think we are, let's say, well on track regarding our revenue target for this year. And for next year, we discussed this a few minutes ago, what we expect on the revenue basis.
Actually, a follow-up on this. I mean, if we assume you to start new projects, that maybe more activity there if demand should recover, what should we expect with regards to working capital, actually considering these projects typically take longer to get sold in this market, I would assume. And also with more project starts, the pre-sold rate would then also come down consequently, I assume. Is that the right picture?
I think we will see this for some kind of time period before the market is again accepting new let's say price points. What we currently have is that institutional buyers are on the sideline. But when you think about the macro environment we have in Germany, we have, let's say, rising rent prices. We have a significant supply-demand imbalance. And from my perspective, what is now necessary to get the market to a, I would say, stabilized situation is that the market has to come out with a new price points, and then let's say the deal flow will start again. The question: if will the deal flow will be as strong as, let's say, in the year 2020 and 2021? That's hard to say. What I can say is that the construction activities are going down. The pressure in the market, in the resi market, is further increasing. So from my perspective, the appetite to invest will start again. But for the time being, of course, there is some kind of impact on working capital.
Okay. And one question is actually on new land acquisition and you mentioned opportunities. At what discounts can you currently or could you currently buy new projects? It seems like there's quite a level of distressed situations already. Maybe, you know, a rough idea would be helpful.
So if you translate our 5 to 8% price reduction and if you calculate, you know, this on the level of land price, it would mean that we expect the land prices in comparison to 2022 should go down by 20 to 30%. We see the one or the other, let's say, opportunity in the market where the landlord is under pressure and is accepting discounts, but as the same as for institutional buyers, it will take a few months' time before the landlords are so under pressure or accepting the new reality. So currently, I would say there are only a very limited number of these, let's say, discount available project, but this number will go up significantly in the next month.
Mm-hmm. My last question is actually on this proposal from the government on new tax incentives for newly built. The so-called degressive depreciation. Any view from your side on this? Is this a meaningful measure, or what do you expect if this would be realized?
So, let's say this degressive depreciation is clearly a driver for demand, from my perspective. Because when you look at the terms, they are comparable to listed buildings where we currently sell on a very good level. So when we look at our project in Leipzig, it's a listed building. We have nearly the same sales speed as we had in the past. So there was no impact on sales speed for this product type. So if this comes, this will clearly, let's say, increase demand of retail clients significantly. Is it meaningful? I think it will help. What we think, what the government should do additionally, is to try to put in some kind of program for the institutional investors. But again, I think, of course, it will help in the sales activities to improve.
Okay, interesting. Do you mean this is meant for retail investors, or does it also include institutional investors?
No,
can they also benefit?
No, not from the structure they have. So they are not able to generate the depreciation. So it's for retail clients, so smaller investors mainly dedicated. So that has, of course, technical issues for institutional buyers to benefit from this.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Again, it is star and then one to ask a question. Our next question today is from Manuel Martin of Auto BHF. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first question would be on M&A. You are in a good position to benefit from distressed situations. Maybe you could give us further feeling there, and would you rather look to take over an entire company, or are you rather looking to take over certain project developments? Maybe you can give us some color on that, please.
Yeah, sure. We have been always cautious regards to M&A transactions because you are buying portfolio, but you're also buying people with different mentality and quality, etc. So therefore, we think that there will be plenty of chances to buy, let's say, attractive land portfolios, and that's clearly our focus.
Okay, that's clear. The second question would be on your shareholder structure. Are there any news, or are you in contact with your major shareholder Actibum? Does he have some plans with you which you could share us, or is there a kind of exchange of information or conversation with Actibum?
So what let's say, we are in regular discussions with Actibum as we are with other shareholders. And Stefan Mohr is a new member of the supervisory board, there are no other informations, here to be mentioned from my side.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Again, it is star and then one to ask a question. Our next question will come from Philipp Kaiser of Warburg Research GmbH. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congrats to the sound result. Just only one additional question left from my side. It's on the construction prices. Could you remind me the percentage of the construction costs already fixed for this year and for the remainder? Can we expect kind of positive impact on earnings due to the fact that the costs are, yeah, clearly easing since the start of the year? That would be my question.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, Philipp. So you know that construction costs are roughly 40% of the total, let's say, amount of revenues. And we have already secured 80% of the construction works for this year. So there's only, I would say, a limited upside potential here. We see that, you know, we are in budget or slightly below, and there is some potential, but it's clearly limited. You know that we have assumed a construction cost inflation for this year, an average of 4%-5%, which from my perspective seems to be really a realistic, maybe conservative approach. For the coming year, 2024, we think that we have two different, I would say, developments. One is the material cost inflation clearly going a bit down, but we don't have to forget that, let's say, staff costs by the high inflation rate should go up. And I think we still calculate a smaller single-digit construction cost inflation number for the coming years. And then the question is, of course, what happens with, hopefully, the war in Ukraine is someday really ending. So, and here, the sources we are using in Germany, I would say they are parts of which also will be used in the Ukraine. So therefore, I wouldn't be too optimistic that the construction costs go below the level we are today. It will be some inflation. That's our, let's say, our view on construction cost inflation.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks. Very helpful. All from my side.
Again, it is star and then one to ask a question. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back over to Burkhard Sawazki for closing comments.
Thank you for your participation. If you need further information, please do not hesitate to call the IR team or send us an email. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.